And joining us on Perspectives today is Michael Washer. Michael is an El Pasoan who has been here. He has been a rabbi. He's been a teacher, graphic artist. He does a little bit of everything, but he's also an author. And he has just come out with a new book, and the novel is called Living from the Inside Out. And it's actually a story about a conservative rabbi who wants to find out about Jesus. Michael Kastner is just asking for trouble. So soured by the assimilated Judaism of his family, he leaves for New York and becomes a conservative rabbi. Finding it's not easy to leave Spanish and the desert, he returns to the Southwest to the hidden Marrano Jews. There he meets and marries one of them, and he drives the rabbi to find out about Jesus. But discovering how Jesus fits into this puzzle becomes a maddening risk and a maddening task, as he's confused by mashugas at every turn. So in this book, Michael is going to tell us a little bit about how he came about writing this book. And just to tell you a little bit more about Michael, as I mentioned, he is a fine artist. He is a graphic designer, writer, and musician who has been writing, doing artwork and music to express his faith for over 30 years. He's also the first artist to illustrate the New Testament as a holy Jewish book. He has written several novels as well as insightful teaching books on Judaism. And he served as a Messianic rabbi for 13 years and now teaches art in middle school. He and his wife have raised four amazing children and live and work here in the Southwest. And again, the novel is called Living from the Inside Out. Michael, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much for having me, Louis.
That's a great introduction there that I had for you. And I wasn't aware of some of these other things that you've been involved with. But tell us a little bit about your beginning, because this book is, as you mentioned, semi-autobiographical. And, well, I'll let you go ahead.
Well, I grew up as an army brat, Jewish, but an army brat. The character in the book grows up in El Paso. I've been in El Paso for more than 30 years, so I basically feel like it's my home. And this character really is part of El Paso. He grows up in the Temple Mount Sinai, which was the big one, was built in 1960. He's born in 1960, so he kind of tracks along the history of that temple. So he's really integrally linked with the history of El Paso, the character. It's loosely based on me as a character, as a person, because my family was not very connected to the Jewish community because my dad was in the army. But this kid, he's not connected to the Jewish community just because of choices that his parents make. They're pretty typical American Jews. You know, American Reform Jews are not very connected to the community. But, you know, the Southwest is a very strange creature, too. The Jewish communities in the Southwest are not like any place else on earth. Everywhere else, the Jewish communities are much tighter. They're much more globally minded and have a bigger sort of view of the world. But in the Southwest, they're much smaller, more like small towns.
Why is that, Michael?
Well, I think because we're so cut off. I mean, you know, think about it. In the 50s, 60s, 70s, to get to El Paso, you had to take a 10, 15-hour trip in a car to get here. Same thing with shipping and trucking and all the products. And we're very cut off. And it's not just El Paso. It's like that all over the Southwest. And it's just because of that nature of being out in the desert, you know, cut off from the rest of the world.
And is it just for Judaism or for other faiths as well?
Have no idea what other faiths are like. I only know that it's like that for Judaism.
Because
for
in your
Judaism.
Book you mentioned, and of course it's no secret to people that El Paso is heavily Roman Catholic.
Yes.
And so there are a lot of Roman Catholics living here in El Paso. And so I'm just wondering, because the Jewish community, you say, was kind of small, not as tight-knit as they would in New York, Brooklyn, Chicago, L.A., some of those other cities where, you know, traditionally we hear Jewish people who grew up in the Bronx or grew up in Brooklyn. And so they assimilate with some of the other groups as well. But in this book, the young man that the protagonist in this book, he kind of struggles with that, does he not?
Yes, very much so. His family, the Kasners, they used to be Kasnikovsky, but they changed their name to Kasner. They're from Chicago. My family's from Chicago. And they are much more connected, much more family, Jewish family oriented. And on the cover of the book, there's on one side this shale decoupage of a Hasidic rabbi in a large tallit, and that decoupage plays a large part in the story. And on the other side is Mount Cristo Rey. There's a picture of Mount Cristo Rey. And there's a dividing line between the two. Michael Kasner, growing up, he is bifurcated. He's split in half because of what you just said, that El Paso is very much founded on the Roman Catholic tradition. And he grows up surrounded by that. But he's also got his family from Chicago, a family he really doesn't know anything about. He doesn't know anything about the past. The guy on the shale decoupage is his great-great-grandfather. He doesn't know this, and he finds it by some ridiculous means. But this character on the shale, his great-great-grandfather, Mikhail Kesnikovsky from Russia, he actually from Krakow, he visits Michael in a dream after about midway through the book to test him and to change him into a better person. And so that's really the movement of the whole story, is this bifurcation that Michael feels, that, you know, Jesus is the hub of the whole rest of the world, and yet the hub of his family he doesn't even know about. And so he goes on a journey to find out about that.
So once he has this dream where his grandfather appears to him, take us through that. Like, what does the character experience, and what does his grandfather tell him? What does he show him that changes Michael? Michael is the name of the character, correct?
Yes, Michael Kasner. The first time that his great-great-grandfather visits him from beyond, from the great beyond or the other side, the old man, he basically says this. He puts his arms wide. He says, "You want to find out about the Savior?" Because that's what Michael eventually wants to do. And in a mocking tone, he says, "You want to find out about the Savior? Here I am," which is like the catalyst to get Michael to start thinking about, what am I doing? Why am I, as a Jew, trying to find out about Jesus? And from there, the rabbi begins to test him and mock him and try him. And with different techniques, he really gets to a lot of Michael's problems. He's got a lot of problems from his past. And so the rabbi drives these to the surface over, I think it's four visits throughout the book. And that's what changes him, because he has to really look at himself, what's motivating him, why he does what he does, why he thinks the way he does, why he's so bifurcated, so cut in half.
And what about, as you mentioned, that he's searching, he also has trouble, I wouldn't say trouble, but perhaps adjusting to his father. And he doesn't see his father in a high respected. He respects him because he's his father, but he also has kind of a hidden anger against his father, the way he is.
Yeah,
it's
not so hidden in the book. It's pretty obvious. And I loosely base this on my father, who I love and respect. My father has passed away now. But my father was loud, abrasive, funny, engaging. You know, he was the life of the party wherever he went, just a vortex of attention, but not in a negative way. Well, that's how this character's father is, Michael's father is. But he also is very much in the book, very much a hypocrite, very much a hypocrite. He espouses Judaism, but all he can think about at Yom Kippur is eating. He espouses Judaism, but at Passover, all he can think about at the Passover Seder is getting something in his mouth, you know, getting some food before they're supposed to eat. He espouses Judaism, but then he eats spare ribs. He loves pork spare ribs and shrimp and that sort of thing. So, which my dad was like, but he wasn't a hypocrite about it. This character is a hypocrite, and that's what is bothering Michael so much, and that's one of his problems. He can't figure out what Judaism is really. And then on top of that, to make things more difficult on him, he lives in El Paso, and he becomes obsessed, almost, with Marano Jews, crypto-Jews, Anosim Jews. They have many different names. Jewish people who converted to Catholicism 400 years ago. And that character who he meets, who's his wife, is based on my wife, Eileen. Not as loosely as Michael Kasner is based on me. It's pretty tight correlation with my wife. And she was raised Catholic, but she has a lot of angst in her about wanting to know Judaism, and she converts to Judaism, but she still has that problem with, you know, who is Jesus really? Do I really know him? And I had a section in the book that I wanted to read that sort of sums up her angst and is the driving force behind Michael to go find out, as a conservative rabbi, to find out about Jesus, whatever that means.
Would you like to read that passage now?
Sure.
We are visiting with Michael Washer. He is the author of the book Living from the Inside Out, and this is a semi-autobiography about a conservative rabbi who is trying to find out a little bit more about Judaism, and he gets a visit from his great-great-grandfather and who leads him along the way. And right now, as we mentioned, Michael is going to read a passage from his book that kind of puts some of the things in perspective.
This is after a conversation in which Michael is telling his wife, Carmen, about being visited by his great-great-grandfather, and his great-great-grandfather says, "You want to see the Savior? Here I am," in a very mocking way. And Michael says, Carmen says this. She says in response to that, "What?" She was instantly acerbic, any pleasure in her eyes shredded. "What's so strange about that?" "Not that I don't think it's strange," he said. "But why that reaction, Carmen?" With that, Carmen had reached the seminal point of a monumental puzzle. She didn't answer, but pensively began to make the bed, shooing me off. The Savior stood as the meeting and parting point of the Murano Jew. Raised Catholic, indoctrinated from birth to be a member of the body of the Savior, Jesus, driven from Judaism, condemned to wander the earth, yet all the while not cut off from the rest of the world's people, as is the Jew who openly displays his faith, and yet shunned by their own tiny sliver of the world, their own family from ages past, the Jews. Forever accepted, forever condemned, forever belonging, forever shunned, and Jesus as Savior, the reason for which both opposing truths are always simultaneously a reality.
So what you say there about Judaism is what you discovered, Michael the character, and also perhaps what some Jews go through, because they want to stay connected, they want to talk about their faith, but in some ways they can't because they're persecuted, they're mocked, and you know, let's face it, there's still a lot of discrimination against Jewish people.
This is true. And the Murano Jews, or the Anosim Jews, I think they're squeezed from both sides. They're squeezed from the Christian or Catholic side, and then they're squeezed from the Jewish side, and neither one really knows what to do with them. This is also the case with what are called Messianic Jews. I was a Messianic rabbi for 13 and a half years, and that's where the bulk of the information came from.
What is a Messianic Jew?
A Messianic Jew is a Jew who believes that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, we were squeezed in between both because we were teaching Judaism and living a Jewish life and yet believing that Jesus is the Messiah. And so Michael's journey sort of stems out of that experience that I had and basically am still having after 33 years. And all the characters that I have in the book, some are very strange. On the back of the cover, you read it, they're called Meshugas, which means crazies. Well, a lot of the characters that I knew personally appear in this book with all their problems and all their strengths and all their weaknesses, and they're funny and engaging. And it's just a funny read because of those characters.
Now, when you talk about the Jew – who is a Messianic Jew, he's being pushed from both sides again, like as you mentioned. Also, tell me if this is true or not, but if someone like yourself or somebody else is practicing Judaism and then all of a sudden they become conservative rabbis or Messianic Jews, then it's almost like you've committed the worst. You're a traitor to Jewish families, correct?
And
your faith.
It used to be, long ago, back when Mikhail Kaznikovsky was walking the earth, that there was an actual thing called kariya, which is when somebody dies, you tear your clothing. Well, many families would do kariya. They would cut their clothing and make a proclamation that Messianic Jew, or back then there was no such thing as Messianic Jews, that Jewish Christian, they called them, was no longer part of the family. In fact, he's dead. So it's not just a phrase that people say, you're dead to me. This was actually a formalized tradition that if a Jew converts to Catholicism or converts to Christianity, and those are all terms that I try to define in the book, they would actually proclaim this person is no longer part of the family. Wasn't a problem in my family because of my dad, who he was, but that is still in some communities the way it is.
What about on the other side of the coin, Michael? Perhaps like in the book, Carmen, Michael's wife, she is raised Roman Catholic. She is brought up that way, and then she decides to convert to Judaism.
Well, that's the strange thing. Brought up Roman Catholic, it could be a cultural thing, like it is in the Southwest, or it could be a religious thing. In Carmen's case, because their family are Marrano Jews, it's more of a cultural thing, not so much a religious thing. They know they're Jewish. They know their families are Jews. And they've invited the Rabbi Kasner, they've invited him to their enclave up in the mountains, the Manzano Mountains up near Belen, New Mexico. They've invited him there to teach them Judaism. She eventually converts. She's the only one in the family that does. But they don't reject her because they know who they are. And everything's been secret for a long time. Well, this is happening all over the country now, all over the Southwest, that families of Anusim or Marrano Jews are coming out, and they're beginning to say, we know who we are. We know our family is Jewish. By the way, my wife, after many years of research on her family, she found a book all about her family, and it documents the date that the entire family in Spain, in Bilbao, Spain, converted en masse to Catholicism. Gives the date, gives the names, and she has documented proof. And so in a case like that, there's less angst and less persecution and less turning away of the rest of the family. But not all families are like that.
We are visiting with Michael Washer. Michael is a teacher, artist, and author, and his latest novel is Living from the Inside Out. It's a semi-autobiographical book, and it talks a little bit about a conservative rabbi growing up in the Southwest and some of the issues that he has to deal with being a Jew in El Paso and Roman Catholicism, the Marrano Jews, the crypto Jews, and Michael, you've said that several times, Marrano Jews, but for the benefit of our audience, if you could clear that up and tell us, what is a Marrano Jew?
Sure. I know Marrano means pig, so it can be offensive. But the Jews who converted, and there were hundreds of thousands of them in Portugal, Spain, Morocco, Israel, they were called Sephardic, which means Spain, but it's really the entire Mediterranean region. There were hundreds of thousands of them that converted to Catholicism back in the 1400s, 1500s. Actually, the Jews were kicked out of Spain in 1492, so most of this took place before that. And they were called Marranos by the Catholics, who felt threatened that these Jewish people who were converting to Catholicism would take their money and take their jobs and take their position. They were called Marranos by the Jews, who said, we're willing to suffer and die for our faith, why aren't you? And these Jews, these Marrano Jews, had made the worst sin imaginable to them, and that was to choose life, to stay alive. Well, they had to convert to stay alive. And so they were looked at as pigs by the Catholics and looked at as pigs by the Jews. And so we use that name, Marrano Jew, not as one of disrespect, but one of respect now, to remember what they did.
In the book, as you mentioned, Michael Kasner is seeking out, you know, what trying to find himself, I guess is what we say sometimes about our young people. And because of that, he stumbles across different things. So tell us a little bit about, not to give the book away, but what does he do when he stumbles across the term Marrano Jews and finds out that, you know, there are some people who were escaped persecution in Spain by converting to Roman Catholicism.
He basically becomes obsessed with them. He wants that to be the calling of his life. His family's from Chicago. He has no connection with Catholicism or the Southwest or Spanish or anything like that. And his family tries to keep him from it. Because they keep him from it, he has, you know, friends. He lives on the west side of El Paso. He has friends that are Catholic, that are Spanish, Latino. And he begins to find out about them and about their culture. Well, he sees their strengths and their positive side. And so he says, I want to make this the calling of my life, which is to find these people because they're hidden. They're hard to find. And this is back in the 80s in the book. And he begins to seek them out. Well, then they start seeking him out. And they find out there's this rabbi, this conservative rabbi in El Paso and in Las Cruces. When he comes back from his rabbinate training, he goes to Las Cruces so he can get away from his family. He doesn't want to be near his family. And so they find out, you know, there's this rabbi in Las Cruces and El Paso that wants to help us return to Judaism. And so that's what he does. So he really finds this as the core of his life while he's in New York City being trained as a conservative rabbi, totally opposite from the culture there.
We're visiting with Michael Washer. Michael is the author of the novel Living from the Inside Out. It's a story of a conservative rabbi growing up in the Southwest, and he's trying to find out more about his roots in Judaism because when he's living here in the Southwest, the Jewish community is not as connected as it was in the Midwest or other parts of the country where he has found out a little bit more about Judaism. Now, each chapter, it's curious here, and you can explain to me, you start each chapter with a passage from Ecclesiastes.
Yes, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is sort of a universal book. It's really the only book in the Jewish scriptures that is universal. It never really talks about anything ritually Jewish or culturally Jewish. It sort of applies to everybody in the world. And it's not a very encouraging book. I mean, it's hard. It says things like this. Everything comes down to time and chance. I mean, who wants to hear that, you know? But that's life, and it really is like that. And vanity, vanity, all is vanity, which is quoted in the book. But that really is mist. The word is mist, which is air and water. And everything comes down to air and water, you know, just kind of you can't get your hands on it. It slips through your fingers. It's difficult, and things are hard to figure out. And that's why I chose Ecclesiastes, because things are hard to figure out. Things are hard to figure out for Michael Kastner. Things are hard to figure out for Carmen, his wife. Things are hard to figure out for the rabbis that ordain him in New York. Things, you know, that nobody can get their fingers on what's really going on. And by the end of the book, oh, you get your fingers on what's really going on, but it comes through very, very strange means. And one of the key things that happens because of that lack of knowledge, is this search for who Jesus is really. It's very strange. It's not like what people think. And he gets information, but he gets it in Israel. He doesn't get any real information until he travels to Israel to find out about Jesus, which is the antithesis of Judaism in most of the world.
And Ecclesiastes, as you mentioned here, it just about everybody knows this passage, whether or not or scripture, even if they read the Bible or the Torah, because this is the birds from the 1960s use this for turn, turn, turn. Right. For every season, there's a time.
Right. There's a time for everything under heaven. And that changes the changes that Michael goes through, you know, that cycle that he goes through, it's a big deal. You know, there's a time for everything. There's a time for him to be changed. There's a time for him to rest. There's a time for him to pray. There's a time for him not to pray. There's a time for him to have children. There's all these different little way stations that he goes through in his life. I really try to focus on each one so that there's no question as to why he's changing and how he changes at the end of the book.
Now, there's probably a lot of people who are in Michael Kastner's shoes, whether they're wanting to convert to Judaism, to Christianity, to Islam, whatever the faith is. And so because of that, tell me a little bit about there's going to be a lot of questions remain unanswered for people, or perhaps they want to go out and find out more about it. How has this book been received by the Jewish community or some of your other people who have reviewed it?
It hasn't been received by the Jewish community at all. They don't really know about it yet. But I think the book will reflect the story of Michael Kastner. I think it'll reflect in the Jewish community. I don't think that they're going to understand it. I think that they're going to see Jesus as the world has seen Jesus, not as Michael Kastner understands him by the end of the book, because they're not at the end of the book. They're at the beginning of the book. And so I don't think they're going to really understand it. They won't receive it because you got a guy who wants to know about Jesus. What does that have to do with a Jew? What does that have to do with the Jewish community? And that's why it says, that's why the tag phrase for the book is, a conservative rabbi who wants to find out about Jesus, Michael Kastner is just asking for trouble. And really, that's the truth. It's a hard sell. It's a hard sell. And it's also a hard journey to go through.
Speaking of journey and people to go through, where can they go, Michael, to find copies of this book, to find reviews, or perhaps do you have a website, or where can they get the book?
Well, it's available from Tate Publishing. It's also available on Amazon. It's in their ebook readers and also traditional book. And I also have many things about it on Facebook, passages and things like that. And I'm also posting whenever I have a book reading, which I just had in El Paso. And it's out there in the blogosphere and in Amazon, so anybody can get it, and people are buying it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. Michael Washer has been our guest. He is the author of the book Living from the Inside Out. And if you want additional information, you can Google Michael Washer. You can go also to his Facebook page and find out more about the book. The book, again, is called Living from the Inside Out. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Louis.